Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house? Amen. 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 John chapter 12. You may be seated. John chapter 12. Starting at verse 12. It says, the next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting what? They kept shouting what? Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things had been written about him and that he had done these things to him. Meanwhile, the crowd which had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. This is also why the crowd met him, because they heard he had done this sign. Then the Pharisees said to one another, you see, you've accomplished nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Hosanna. Can we say that again this morning? Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our time together in your word. I thank you for your spirit that we have felt in this time of worship. And I pray right now, Lord, that Jesus, that you would be exalted. King Jesus, you would be exalted in this house. That, Lord, you would be lifted up. And that as you are lifted up, you would draw all people to yourself. Lord, people this morning who are longing, people who are broken, people who are looking for hope. Lord, we are looking for you, King Jesus. We need you in this house. Amen? The church said, amen, amen. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The waving of palm branches. It was a Jewish national symbol. It was what they were doing as they were waving these palm branches. They were recognizing Jesus as the promised king, as the one who would come in the line of David, this Davidic king. It echoes the language of Psalm chapter 111, or chapter 11 in verse 25 and 26. It says, Lord, save us. Chapter 118, 25 and 26. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. When these people were crying out, Hosanna, they were crying out, they were singing the songs of Psalm 118. They were singing this psalm. They were singing it, and they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord God has given us light. The Lord God, and so we bind the festive sacrifice with cords and the horns of the altar. Psalm 118, we heard it this morning. Pastor Robert read it as we began our service this morning. This psalm describes this festive procession into Jerusalem after a great deliverance. Now, the original occasion that this began is hard to identify. Maybe it was the rebuilding of the temple. Maybe it was the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Later times we see it, it's sung at the Feast of Tabernacles and during Passover. It was recited by crowds when Jesus entered Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday. They sang the words of this psalm that Jesus is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Matthew 23 verse 39 implies that it may be sung again when Jesus returns. In verse 39 of Matthew 23, it says, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. How many of you are looking for that day? You're looking for that appearing where we can say, blessed is he who comes. Every eye will see him when he appears. Amen. In Matthew 26, 30, it was the last psalm that was sung at the Last Supper. That Jesus had with his disciples before they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 30 of Matthew 26, it says, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That would have been Psalm 118. And this psalm is often still recited when we remember this Last Supper that took place. Hosanna. It is a word of praise. It is an exclamation of celebration. Originally, it was an appeal for deliverance. Oh God, you are the one who saved. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who saves us from our enemies. Blessed is the one who delivers us. Blessed is the one who saves us. We look to you. We celebrate you. We praise you. And we cry out to you for deliverance. It is a song of hope and of anticipation, of worship for a deliverance that is yet to even come. We shout Hosanna. Because the king is coming, and because the king is coming, that means victory is assured. So it's a celebration by faith. It's a praise by faith. Because Hosanna, blessed is he. He is here. That means he's going to deal with it. Blessed is he. And so when Jesus came into Jerusalem, this final presentation of himself to Israel, this expression of Hosanna, this word of Hosanna, came easily to the lips of these Passover crowds. We saw and we heard and we read from Psalm 118 to begin our service. But I want you to hear something this morning. That Palm Sunday, as they sang and shouted Hosanna, they didn't understand the fullness of that psalm as it related to Jesus. That song is a song of hope. I want you to look at a little bit of it. Starting at verse 5 of Psalm 118, it says, I called to the Lord in distress. If you were in our first service this morning, you heard us and we sang together, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's what he does. It says, I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord heard me. The Lord answered me. He put me in a spacious place. The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord's my helper. Therefore, I will look in triumph on those who hate me. The Lord is my strength, verse 14, and my song, and he's my salvation, and there's shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. The Lord's right hand is raised. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. I will not die, but I will live, the psalmist says. Verse 19 says, open the gates of righteousness for me, and I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks because you've answered me. You've become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord. It's wondrous in our sight. This is the day. They didn't understand the fullness of that phrase at that moment. This is the day the Lord has made. They rejoiced and they were glad in it, even though they didn't fully understand. When the Jews that day sang this song, they weren't thinking about eternal salvation from the curse of sin. You hear that? They were thinking this day. And they were seeing Jesus come in. He had worked these miracles. It says he had healed Lazarus, and they were still falling from the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And so they saw Jesus as this amazing man who was able to do miracles, who was able to raise the dead, who challenged the Pharisees. And they saw him as the one who would deliver them from Roman oppression. And so when they sang this song, their hope was not that Jesus would be the freedom from the curse of sin and the bondage that the enemy has brought, the enemy of our souls. Their thought was, this Jesus, he could be the one who delivers us from Rome. They were thinking about having their land restored. The Jews were singing at that day. They were thinking about how Jesus could be a military leader and people could follow him into battle. That he would deliver them from their oppressors, from Rome and the Roman government. By this time in Roman government, there had been many rebellions against the Roman government, and they had always been squashed. They had always been taken care of. Many zealots had risen up to fight against Rome, but they had all been killed. Only after they were killed, all that was left was their liberation movements would be wiped out. They would be forgotten about. These Jews that day, as Jesus rode in and they shouted Hosanna, their hope that day, this song of hope, was a hope that Jesus would lead an insurgency against the Roman oppressors. That he would set them free from Roman oppression. So they gathered this day to celebrate this miracle worker and to coronate him, to crown him as the King of the Jews. Literally, the King of the Jews. They wanted him to restore their land. This is a coronation ceremony, much like the celebration when Saul was chosen to be king of Israel. A king. Someone who would lead them to victory over Caesar, to restore the land to the Jewish people. They were sorely disappointed when a few days later, Jesus would be killed, claiming to be king, at the hands of the Roman Pontius Pilate, under the request of the Jewish leaders. This King Jesus, we crown him king. He's the one who's going to do it. He's the one who's going to lead us out of this oppression from the Romans. And then a few days later, this one that they had just crowned as king is now on a cross dying. Because this song of hope wasn't the song of a king against Rome. This was a different kind of king. This was a different kind of rebel. This was a different kind of rebel king. The Jews didn't understand the mission that Jesus was on. But Jesus understood it completely. Jesus told his disciples, get a colt. Jesus took the young donkey, he sat on it. Jesus was fully embracing his role as king in this moment. Jesus was fully embracing the worship and the adulation of himself as king in this moment. He was fully welcoming his messianic title. Jesus was fully embracing his role in the rebellion. But the rebellion wasn't a rebellion against Caesar. It was a rebellion against the systems of the world. It was a rebellion against the principalities and powers of this fallen world. It was a rebellion against the God of this world. It was a rebellion against sin and death. It was a rebellion against the curse. It was a rebellion against despair. It was a rebellion against oppression. It was a rebellion against fear. It was a rebellion against sickness. It was a rebellion against the fall of our first parents. It was a rebellion against the great dragon, Satan. Jesus fully embraced, even reveled in this celebration, in this coronation. He welcomed the coronation that would lead to the cross because of the joy that was set before him. He smiled at the children. He walked on the palm branches. He listened as they sang songs about him. He rode the donkey as a conquering king. He basked in their praise. He laughed with their joy. He was looking to the other side of the cross. In that moment, on that donkey, in Jerusalem, he enjoyed a small taste of the glory that was due him. In that moment, he received a small taste of the praise that was his for eternity. And he basked in the admiration as a king, as a rebel king. Rebels love Jesus, and Jesus loves rebels. Are you a rebel? Are you fighting against the oppressor? The great oppressor of your souls? Jesus has come to give you life and to give it abundantly. See, Jesus had the donkey ready. He sat upon the donkey as a living picture, as a literal fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9. Jesus wanted them, the crowd that day, he wanted them to see that he wasn't just an insurrectionist, but he was a deliverer. He was the deliverer. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 through 12, we see that Jesus is going to, that the coming king is coming, and he's going to bring peace for all the people and for the nations. Read it with me. Zechariah 9, starting verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The bow of war will be removed, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion will extend from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of your covenant, I will release your prisoners from the waterless cistern. Return to a stronghold, you prisoners who have hope. You prisoners, today I declare I'll restore double to you. Listen, Jesus is the coming King of Zion. He was the rebel king. Rejoice greatly, Zechariah 9 says. Your king is coming, humble and riding on a donkey. This campaign over Israel's enemies would culminate in the triumphal entry of its king to Jerusalem. This king is described as righteous. He is described as humble. He is described as riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey, that is not the standard military mount that a king would ride on. But this king does things different. This king is humble and he rides on a donkey, not a horse. And we see here on this Palm Sunday that this entry into Jerusalem, it's a triumphal entry. It's called Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem because he rides in literally fulfilling Zechariah's promise that the king would come humbly on a donkey and he would be the deliverer. And so as Jesus enters to Jerusalem, he is coming to bring salvation and deliverance because he is righteous and salvation is his to give. Verse 10, we see he's going to cut off the chariot. He's going to cut off the war horse. He's going to break the bow of war. He's going to proclaim peace to the nations. And that his dominion, his kingdom, will go from sea to sea, an everlasting, eternal kingdom. The Lord will bring an end to Israel's need for traditional instruments of war. Not going to need a chariot. Not going to need a war horse. Not going to need a battle bow. Not going to need weapons of warfare. Not going to need violent weapons because Jesus is the one who breaks them and destroys them because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The coming ruler will rule the whole earth. The result of his rule will be universal peace. Why? Because in verse 11, because of the blood of your covenant, I will release your prisoners from the waterless cistern. The prisoners, these are God's people who are in exile. They will be set free from a waterless pit, a dry well, a temporary prison. Why? Because the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the covenant sets us free from the waterless pit. It sets us free from our prison. The blood of the covenant gives us freedom, gives us life, gives us hope, because the rebel king rides on a donkey. This blood testifies to the seriousness of the covenant bond between God and the people. And that as he fulfills this, it brings a double portion of blessing. His covenant brings a double portion. And let me tell you something. This rebel king, the song of the rebel king has come. What Jesus is doing in John chapter 12, what Jesus did 6 days before the Passover, the very night that Jesus would be betrayed, what Jesus did here was give a very clear signal that the king has come. Jesus was saying, I am that righteous one prophesied. I am your salvation. I am the humble servant king. I am the one who will eschew the war horse and ride on a colt. I am the one who will destroy the instruments of war and bring peace. I am the one who will rule the earth. I am the one who will free a people from exile, free them from a waterless pit. I am the one whose blood will ratify a covenant between God and his people. I am your stronghold. I am the one who brings double blessing to the people of God. I am the one. I am the king. I am the rebel king. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. See, the crowd wanted a king who would overthrow Rome. The crowd wanted a king who would make Israel great again. That's what they wanted. They wanted this man who would come in and restore. But Jesus said, I've come for a different purpose. I've come not just to make Israel great, I've come to make all of the nations great in me. I've come to transform and deliver, and everyone, regardless of who they are or where they're from, if they will look to me, they will receive a double blessing because of the covenant of my blood. That's the King that we serve. That is King Jesus. See, the crowd, they wanted this king to overthrow. Jesus wasn't interested in just overthrowing Rome. Jesus was interested in having the throne. Listen, Jesus is the blood covenant-keeping rebel king who went into the waterless pit of the grave. Let me say it again. Jesus is the blood covenant-keeping rebel king who went into the waterless pit of the grave, leading captivity captive, enlarging the kingdom, doubling the blessing, fulfilling every promise of God. Jesus is the rebel king who brings life to those who are broken. He got on a donkey that day to tell the world, I'm the king. So this morning, if you're hopeless, you need the rebel king. If you feel like you're under the rule of a tyrant, you need the rebel king. If you're weighted down by a sense of homelessness, you need Jesus. If you're wrestling with emptiness, you need Jesus. If you feel like the world is holding too tightly to you, you need Jesus. You need the rebel king against sin and against the guilt of your past. You need Jesus. You need a rebel king against the despair of your present. You need a rebel leader against the hopelessness of your future. You need a rebel king against the chaos of your captivity. You need a rebel king against the trappings of materialism in the world's broken system. You need Jesus. We need a rebel king against self-righteousness and man-made religion. We need a rebel king against the sin in our heart, the hidden sin that we try to hide. We need a rebel king to come in and restore and to heal. Not just a rebel king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy, who can deliver, who can save. Jesus is the only one who by his blood, keeping the promise, gives a double blessing to all who will come to him. We need this rebel king. Let this rebel king lead the revolution and the rebellion against the sin and against the guilt and against the hopelessness that so often brings the oppression that the enemy longs to destroy you with, but Jesus came to free you from. We need the rebel king, Jesus. Heavenly Father, in this house this morning, there are many who undoubtedly feel a sense of hopelessness. There are many this morning who undoubtedly have had the enemy, feels like they've been trapped in a waterless pit. There should be hope there. There should be life there. There should be water there. But there's just hopelessness. There's just dryness. There's just death. My prayer, God, this morning is for those who feel like they may be in a waterless pit. You are the water of life. And that you went into the waterless pit of the grave to rescue us and set us free. You are Christus Victor. You are the one who defeats the enemy. And you are the one You are the one who makes your people great again. You are the one, Jesus. Heavenly Father, right now, if there are folks in this room and they would say, Pastor Brock, I'm there. I'm in that waterless pit. I'm in that place where it feels hopeless. I'm there. Jesus rode in on the donkey that day to tell you that you can be free. Because the King is here. The King is here. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed, and you say, Pastor Brock, that's me. Would you pray for me? Right where you're at. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed, just because we don't want distractions. But if that's you, would you slip your hand up right where you're at? Amen. Amen. Hands have gone up. Is there anyone else? Amen. Amen. Hands have gone up. Is there anyone else? If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, but you feel this in your spirit this morning, I just want to invite you to say a simple prayer. King Jesus, lift me out of this waterless pit by the blood of your covenant. And bring life to my life. Simple prayer. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Maybe there's some in this room and there's sin that rules your life. You don't want that. You don't want those chains anymore. You don't want to be bound as a prisoner, as a captive in that anymore. Simple prayer. Jesus, I believe you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Take my sin. Forgive me of my sin. Lift me out of the waterless pit. In Jesus' name. This morning, as we do every week here at Real Life Community Church, we invite you to receive the elements of communion. Why do we do that? Well, because it reminds us of our covenant-keeping God. It reminds us that in the blood there is a covenant-keeping God who gives double portion, an inheritance for those who are in relationship with God through Christ Jesus. It reminds us to confess our sins, to live a life that is pleasing before God. And it is a grace to walk in that manner. We believe Jesus meets us at the table. That there is a special way that God meets us when by faith we receive his body and his blood. King Jesus. See, the riding on a donkey was just the first hint that this king was going to be a little different. Because this king would not only ride on a donkey, this king would carry a cross that was not his to carry. And this king would die a death to deliver us from the curse we brought on ourselves. This King is different. This King is Jesus. So this morning, if you prayed that prayer, if you raised your hand and you would like more prayer, would like someone to pray with you, we invite you that after you receive the elements of communion to just stay here. Maybe you want to bow and kneel before in prayer, or maybe you want to stand and raise your hands in prayer. You're just invited to stay here. We want to pray with you. We have a table in the back, and we have two tables at the front. And we invite you now to come to the table. Come, taste and see the goodness of this rebel king in Jesus' name.